Thank you. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. I'm like, am I the cricket? Am I the whacker? I just want to say a few things first before we unpack the Word of God together. I want to pray for Pastor Rocco and Sue. They've been quite crook, and it's quite serious, but it's good to have them here this morning. I think we believe our God is the greatest doctor of all. Our God is the healing God. So I want to pray for Pastor Rocco and Sue. Can you guys come forward? I want to pray for you guys. And maybe as a sign, we're going to extend our hand and we're going to really bless these guys. It's great to have them back. And we know that God is doing a beautiful work. Let's just pray for them. Father God, I pray for this wonderful couple here. Thank you so much, God, that you have given them to Sun Life Church. Thank you so much for all their service this year. And Lord, this is a season of rest for them, God. So I pray, God, for just your wonderful spirit to give them that rest, God. God, Lord, any illnesses, Lord, anything, God, that is disturbing them, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would remove it right now, God. Restore their body right now. Restore their health right now, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're the great God who brings healing to us, Lord, and we believe in that. So we pray to you right now that you would heal their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good on you guys. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. If you are new here to Sun Life Church, my name is Ben, and I'm the pastor at Sun Life Church. We're in the middle of studying the book of Galatians. Yeah? Now, I want to ask you this. Can someone tell me, where are we in this book? What chapter? What verse? Come on. If you're brave enough, shout out, because there might be a prize. There might. Somebody tell me. What's that? Three? Are we up to chapter 3? 4? No. 5? No. This girl, I don't know where this girl's a satellite. Come on. Who can tell me where are we up to? Not 2. We're not even judges. Did someone say judges? We finished judges. We're in Galatians. We are now up to chapter 3, verses 26. I don't know. Do you guys listen? I don't know. But I'm going to unpack with you chapter 3, verses 26 to chapter 4, verses 7. That's the unit of scripture this morning, and it's going to be slightly different this morning. There's no 3 points, there's no 4 points. I know, it's just me talking, and it's like 1,000 points. Take what you want to take, okay? Hopefully you'll take 1 point, okay? So I'm going to pray, and we'll get to work. Lord, I give you thanks again for the opportunity to expound your word to your people. I do pray, God, that you would use me this morning to speak to your people. I do pray, God, that you would allow us all to walk away, a challenge to live for your glory. Help me, God. Strengthen me, God. Lord, also open up our hearts, our ears, our eyes to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled the sermon, Sons, Not Slaves. That's the passage, that's the section, 3:26 to 4:7. If you have your Bible, that's where we're at this morning. I'm going to read the first 5 verses, which is the end of chapter 3, and we'll talk about that. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We stop there. You would notice that at the very beginning of this passage here, in verse 26, Paul starts off by saying, in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? And you'll notice at the very end of verse 28, he ends off by saying, all one in Christ Jesus. You see that? In Christ Jesus. In Greek literature, when you see the introduction and the end with the same phrases, we call that an inclusio, or we call them brackets. It's a technique where they would write, where you would look at the passage, and you would notice, well, that's an opening bracket, that's a closed bracket, so what's in the middle? And in the middle is usually the crux, or the theological anchor of what the author is trying to communicate. So if you look carefully in the middle, in verse 27, he would say this, that we all have been what? Put on Christ. Can you see that? Clothe yourself with Christ. God has done this wonderful work in clothing us with Christ when we have faith in him and we are now one in Christ. That's the point that Paul wants to address. If you are believing in Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, Jesus would clothe you with him. We're all clothed in Christ, therefore we're all one in Christ. There's no separation. That's why it makes sense where Paul would say, no Jew, no Gentile, no rich, no poor, no master, no slave, no male, no female, because we're all clothed in Christ. In the early 1990s, I'll embarrass my young sister here. Tao was a mad fan of the Backstreet Boys. You know, and here's a picture of the Backstreet Boys here. I would remember watching some of their video clips, right? I mean, they would all look the same. White hat, white baggy pants, white t-shirt, white shirt, white shoes. They looked the same as you can see in the picture. I remember another video clip. This time, they would wear green baggy pants, white t-shirt, and checkered shirt. This next picture here, you can see it. Oh, it's not, apparently it's not there. Okay. Anyhow, you would notice in these video clips, they look the same. In fact, all the boy bands, whether it was Take That, Boyzone, NSYNC, it seems like I know them all, right? Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men, they all looked the same. They wore the same outfit, same look, same dance move, same clothing, and you could not separate them. You could not say that one singer is better than the other because they all function as one. And in that same thought, that's the same with you and I. When we're clothed with Christ, we're on the same team. We're in the same music band. In fact, it's better. We're in the same family. He is Father. We are children. That's the reason why in verse 26, Paul would say, so in Christ Jesus, you are what? All what? Children of God through faith. We're all in the same family. Notice the through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ means that now we're clothed with Christ. We're children of God. We must have this faith in order for God to welcome us into his family, for God to adopt us into his family. But let me just explain this a bit carefully. It is not, listen carefully, it is not something that we must build up. We have to work up faith in order for us to be saved. Listen carefully. You do not bring faith to the table and then because you have faith or you've worked up faith, God would save you. Is that right? Because if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, what does Paul say? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Is that right? We cannot bring faith to the table. We cannot work up faith. Because Paul clearly says it's a gift of God. It's not your works. It's all God's grace. Because if you can work up faith, if you can bring faith to the table, then it's your work. Then you should be able to boast and say, look, I accepted Jesus. I figured this whole thing out about the gospel. It was me who said yes to Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that it's a gift of God. It is not our works. And that's why I would always teach you this at Sun Life Church, that our adoption or our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. That is the Reformed position. That I am only saved because grace from God saved me. And I have the faith because it's a gift from God. Are you with me? God gave me this gift of faith to want him. This gift to say, I need him. This gift of faith to say, I will put my trust in him. Because it's all him. Him. Not me. Therefore, I can't boast. Therefore, I can't say that I worked up faith or I brought faith to the table and then God would save me. No. I would teach you that it's God's grace alone, through faith alone, that we have been adopted into his family. It is not, listen carefully, it is not an intellectual faith where you would have this deep theological understanding of all the doctrines of the Bible. No. That's not the faith that Paul is referring to. You don't have to fully understand everything in the Bible. That's a journey. You don't have to understand the doctrine of the incarnation or the doctrine of justification or original sin. No. The faith here is a faith where you would just trust that Jesus would love you. Jesus died for you. Jesus took your place upon that cross, and on that cross, something wonderful took place, that God would exchange you and him, that you would take on his righteousness and he would take your sin. That's the faith that Paul is referring here. And as soon as you have that faith, wow, that moment you're clothed in him. That moment you're part of the family. It's that beautiful, simple faith that Jesus died for me, that Jesus would love me. Jesus took my place upon that cross. I might not fully understand everything in the Bible, but I just know that there's such peace in my heart because Jesus died for me. That's the faith that we need to have in order for us to be clothed in Christ Jesus. You also notice in the text, Paul seems to talk about baptism. All right, you notice that in the text. I don't think Paul was intending to say that you've got to be baptized first before you're clothed with Christ. No. Because in those days, repentance, listen carefully, conversion and water baptism all took place together. In those days, these people here, as soon as they repent and they confess and they repented, the conversion process meant they were baptized immediately. Today, there seems to be a bit of a delay. Today, most churches, we will baptize people once or twice a year. So maybe right now, you're someone who have not been baptized yet. You haven't gone into the water baptism yet. And you're thinking, well, I've got to wait till that day because once I get into the water, then I'm clothed with Christ. No, that's wrong. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible says this, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're clothed with Christ. And that's every one of us here. We're children of God, equal in the eyes of God. God looks at you and I and God goes, well, they're my kids. They're clothed in Christ. I treat them with equality. Every now and then, one of my boys would say to me, or daddy, oh, who's your favorite? I mean, who's your favorite, daddy? And you know what I would say? I would say, well, I love you, Oliver, as much as I love Cameron, as much as I love Matilda. As long as you love the Frio Dockers, it's the same. Jump ship, go to the other team, then it's different. And they know. But isn't it true that when we're all clothed with Christ and he is Father and we're children, he treats us the same? So in the context here, the Jews are no better than the Gentiles. The rich are no better than the poor. The free no better than the slave. Males no better than female. All one in Christ. Does it make sense? So there are now two implications on how we should relate to God and two implications on how we should relate to one another. So they're my points. Listen carefully. How we relate to God. Two ways. One, we grow in closeness. Two, we grow in confidence. Let's look at the first one. Because if God is Father, we should learn to be close to God. Which means we should be able to have this relationship where we can ask God anything at any time. That's how he wants us to relate to him. I remember one evening in the early hours of the morning, young Cameron, my son, my middle child, came into our room to wake me up. This would have been probably 1 a.m. to remind me that Christmas is a few months and what he wanted me to buy for him. And I'm like, buddy, it's like 1:30 in the morning. Couldn't that wait for another few months down the track? Couldn't that wait to at least another 6 hours when we're fully awake? But Cameron, no, he insisted that I should buy him this and he would tell me what he wants anytime. Maybe it was his strategy. You know, like tell dad like 1 o'clock in the morning, he's half awake and he would just promise me the whole world. Maybe, I don't know. But you see, that's how God wants us to relate to him. That closeness where we would depend upon him in all circumstances, where we would ask God, you know what, anything at any time. You would tell God that you need him. You would tell God that you're lost without him. You would tell God the desires of your heart, and you would tell him at any time. That's the closeness that God wants us in our relationship with him. It's a way of us saying, God, I depend upon you. I trust you. It's a way of saying, God, we're close, and I could ask you anything at any time. Secondly, we should grow in our confidence with God. You know, the picture of being clothed with Christ is an image that before you were clothed, you were naked. And if you are naked, you're exposing certain things that you're not maybe proud of. Imagine you found a picture of yourself naked on Facebook. How would you feel? Quite embarrassed. Is that right? Quite ashamed. And that's the language there. That before they were clothed with Christ, they were naked. They were standing before God in their sinful, shameful state, like Adam and Eve, hiding because they realized they were naked, realized they've committed such a shameful act of disobedience. And now because they're clothed with Christ, there's confidence that there's no longer any shame. Are you with me? Confidence that God looks at you and he sees you clothed in his Son. Therefore, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there is peace, and all there is love that God will have for you and I. We have this confidence now that when we stand before God, there is no shame. We have this confidence now to know there's no guilt, there's no sin, because we have been what? Clothed with Christ. Maybe for some of us this morning, you're quite ashamed to pray to God because you feel that there's a sin that is so shameful. Or maybe this morning there's some of you, you're running away from God. You don't want to run towards God because you feel ashamed. Let me say this, brothers and sisters, that if you have been clothed with Christ, you're covered with him. He's covered the shame of your nakedness, and he's covered you with his righteousness. Have that confidence to run towards him and not away from him. Are you with me? How do we relate to one another if we're family? There must be an equality of respect. So when we relate to each other now, I think we should have this respect with one another. Jews to respect the Gentiles, rich to respect the poor, males to respect the female. For us today, Sun Life Church, let's learn to respect each other no matter how different we are. That's how we relate to one another. There is an equality of respect. We treat the engineers the same as the doctors, the same as the single mums. We treat the rich the same as the poor. We don't look at what we do for a living. We don't look at the size of our house or the size of our bank account. We treat each other with equality because we're all clothed in Christ. And isn't that a great community to be part of? For me to walk into the doors of Sun Life Church and know that people would not judge me, but people would love me and people would respect me and treat me the same as everyone else. That's what it means to have equality of respect. We're all clothed in Christ. There should be an environment of love. Maybe the guys at the back change the slide. There is an environment of love. That's what it should be like here. You know, when I go to my family gathering, I genuinely love my family. When I have dinner with my family, my parents, I love them a lot. I welcome them, and they come to my house, I welcome them to my house. There's a lot of love for my family. And that should be the environment of a church. There should be love here, lots of love. So much love that, like what Jason is saying, I just can't wait to come back here next week. I mean, there may be love in the workforce, there may be love when you're playing social sports, whatever it is, but there's something special about here that you're saying, I just can't wait to get back here next week. There's an environment of love here. Why? Because we're family. Why? We're all clothed in Christ. That's how we should relate to one another. We should respect each other. We should love one another. And let me say this on Life Church. It's going to get a lot harder. As we grow as a church, as we move to hopefully Oxford Street, and numbers begin maybe to grow 200, 300, 400, I pray against little close cookie groups. I pray against the teachers hanging around with the teachers and all the nurses hanging around the nurses and all the doctors hanging around. I pray against that. I pray for an environment of love where you would embrace everyone regardless of where they come from or what they look like or what they do for a living. I pray for the day that the rich and poor would stand together, hands holding each other, worshiping Christ. That's a great community part of. And that only takes place when we realize that we have been clothed with Christ. That there is no rich, no poor, no Jews, no Gentiles, no male, no female. One in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's a great community to belong to. I just pray that these connect groups that we have, that every time you invite your friends from outside the church community into the connect group, they walk away saying, wow, such love in that connect group. I may not know much about that Jesus, but there's such love there, and all I want to do is come back next week. That's a great community to belong to. Amen. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 3. I don't know whether there's a few things you can take home. I must apologize. I didn't break the sermon down to 3 points or 4 points. But there's a few points there. Take what you want to take. All right? Let's carry on. Now let's look at verses 1 to 3 in chapter 4. What am I saying? Is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Let's stop there. Paul continues this topic of adoption, being part of a family. And he would say that we're all heirs, but, listen, we're no different to a slave. You notice that? We're under the protection of a guardian or a trustee until the coming of age. See, in those days, you may be an heir of a rich man and you would have the whole estate to yourself, but it is not yours until you reach the age of 25. All right? So it's not 21, it's actually 25. So up to the age of 25, you will have these custodians, these guardians watching over you. They will tell you when to go to sleep, what to eat, when to come home from school, and they'll treat you as if you're a little kid. You get the cane, you get the little smack, the whole lot. But there's a point when you reach 25. As soon as it's your 25th birthday, you're no longer under the control of these guardians, but now you have the full rights. You're now in charge of the whole estate. And Paul would say that's the same with you and I. That once we were slaves, and there's a point in history where everything changes. Our status changed completely from being a slave to now sons and daughters. Look in verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, there it is, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Can you see that? At the right time, when everything is in place, God sent his son, Jesus, so that our status of being a slave is now changed to being sons and daughters. I have a friend of mine in Subiaco Church of Christ who adopted a young boy. When I met him, he was in the process of adopting this child. And he would tell me, he said, "Ben, I'm actually applying to adopt for a child which I don't even know the sex, and the child is not even born yet." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, "It's because it's such a long process. A lot of things must take place. So by the time I receive my child, all right, you know, right now my child don't even exist." And he would say that, you know, there's all these medical tests, tests upon tests, psychological tests to make sure you're fit to have a child. All right, they check your bank account to see whether you have enough money to raise this child. And then they let you wait for a long period of time just to make sure you're serious about this. And in his case, he waited 7 to 8 years for him to receive his child. Everything must be in order. It all has to line up. Had all these tests he has to pass, and then he would wait. In the same way, listen carefully, the coming of Jesus Christ to change our status was at the right time. In the fullness of time, God sent his son to adopt you and I. Did you know that all of the Old Testament events were all completed? Did you know that all the prophecies from the Old Testament prophets were all done waiting for Jesus? Did you know that there was a 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament of silence waiting in anticipation for Jesus? Did you know that at that time that the Greek language, listen carefully, was the most common language, right? So that when Jesus came, the gospel was preached in the Greek language and the New Testament is written in the Greek so that the gospel would spread to the ends of the earth. Did you know that at that point in time, the Roman Empire was at the strongest, that they made roads that saying all road leads to Rome, so that the same roads that God would use to bring the gospel message to the ends of the earth. Did you know that? It was not a coincidence. God had planned everything, orchestrated everything, and at the right timing sent Jesus so that you and I would be adopted. No fluke here. No coincidence. God had it all sussed out. Why? Because God loves you and I so much. That's a great God to worship. That's a God I want to serve for the rest of my days. A God who was thinking about me, a God who had everything planned, so at the right timing, in the fullness of time, he sent Jesus so that in Christ, my status have been changed. No longer a slave, but now sons and daughters. You've got to think about that. You've got to process that. That's a great God. Now listen very carefully. Is that God objectively, now this might get confusing. God objectively sent the Son for our adoption. Whether we experience that or not, it doesn't matter. When Jesus came, our status changed. Are you with me? That act on the cross changed your status. You're no longer a slave, you're now a son. You get that? In a legal sense, listen, in a legal sense, Jesus was sent so that our status would be changed from a slave into a son. God acted objectively by sending Jesus for our adoption. Whether you experience that or not, it doesn't matter. Are you with me? Now listen carefully. However your experience of that adoption, that you feel in your heart that yes, I am a son, I am a daughter, and you experience that and how that changes the way you live your life, subjectively, right, was the sending of the Spirit. You got that? Let me say that again. Objectively, we're adopted by the work of the Son. Subjectively, we experience adoption by the work of the Spirit. You got that? Because if you understand that, verses 6 and 7 make sense. Look at verse 6 and 7. Because you are his son, God sent the Spirit of His Son, there's the Spirit, into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. Do you understand that? You will never cry out to God unless the Spirit is working inside your heart. You may be a son, you may be a daughter, because objectively that was done through Jesus Christ, but your experience of that is only the work of the Spirit. That's why there are Christians today, listen, who loves Jesus but never cry out to God. They never cry out to God, Abba, Father, because they still haven't experienced the fact that they've been adopted, that there is a Father who loves them. Let me say, there'll be moments in life where you are angry with God, moments in life where it's just dry, it's dull, and the Christian walk is just not happening. You're questioning the love of God. You're saying it's very difficult to be part of God's family. And let me say, it's okay. Those moments are okay. But let me encourage you in those moments, if that's you right now, in those moments you've got to find someone to pray for you and with you. In those moments, you call up your pastor, you call up your connect group leader, and you get someone to open up the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you pray to God. In those moments, you listen to some worship music, and you learn to just sing these songs to God. In those moments, I pray that God's Spirit will work inside your heart so that subjectively you would experience the love of God. That there is a Creator who do love you so much. That there is a God who cares for you. There's a God who listens to you so that you can cry out to Him and say, God, I need you. Are you with me? Because that is the work of the Spirit. You subjectively experience your adoption when the Spirit works inside your spirit. So the Christian walk is like this. There are moments where you experience God's Spirit, and there are moments it's so dry. In those dry moments, get back up there. Pray. Share it with someone. Talk to someone. Get your leaders praying for you. Open up the Bible. Meditate. Drive in your car and just worship Him. Do whatever it takes so that the Spirit of God will begin to work in your spirit so you can cry out, God, I need you. God, you're so real. There was one night during this week, my eldest son, Oliver, cried out for me this week. I'm having a bit of a sleep, and I hear this, Daddy! And I'm just praying, God, hope that's a dream. And it wasn't. I'm up within a split second. I run to my son's room. And Oliver's just vomited. Projectile. Bit of Matrix happening, you know, like I'm trying to dodge it. 4 times. That way, that way. He just kept screaming, Daddy, Daddy. Why would he do that? Because he knows that I'll hear him. He knows that I will run to him. He knows that I am concerned, that I care about him, and I'll be there in a flash. You see, friends, we don't cry out to God if in here we don't think that God will listen to us. Therefore, sometimes the Christian walk is like, I'll just do it myself. I won't cry out to God. I'll just sort it out myself. We only cry out to God because the Spirit of God has worked inside our spirit to remind us that we have been adopted. That the Creator of the universe really cares about us. He listens to us. He's concerned for us. He loves us. And I love it how Paul would say, we cry out, Abba, Father. That's Aramaic. It's not Greek. It's not Hebrew. It's Aramaic for Papa. Papa or Daddy. It's the babbling word of a toddler saying, Daddy, Papa. Isn't that beautiful? That, you know, our God wants us to relate to Him like that? I mean, other religion would paint this picture of a high supreme deity where He's so high up there and you can never reach to Him. You know, if you read extra biblical text, you see that in their creation account, there's these gods who made little people, And these people would serve these gods and make food for these gods. And if these gods are not happy, these gods would kill these people. In our creation account, our God made Adam and Eve, and our God walked with Adam and Eve. Our God is in relationship with Adam and Eve. Our God wants us to cry out to Him, Papa, Daddy. That's the beauty about this wonderful relationship with God. He wants us to be intimate. He wants us to be close to Him. Romans 8, 15, 16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. There it is again. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There it is again. God's Spirit subjectively allows us to experience that He is our Father. Therefore, we can cry out to Him, Papa, Daddy. We run towards Him. We have confidence in Him because He listens to us. You know, when I took Cameron, our middle child, to swing lessons, he was 18 months. And there was this little exercise. What they would do is they'll get your little toddler to stand at the edge of the pool, right? And you're in the water, you're in the pool, and then you would encourage your child to jump at you. And my second child, he's like a pocket rocket. Didn't care less. He just jumped at me before the instructor said so. Such confidence that Daddy would what? Grab him. He didn't care about how deep the pool was. He didn't care about the kids crying on the left or right. He just jumped in because he knew that his dad would catch him. Because his dad loves him. And that's the God of the Bible. That He wants you and I to know that He exists, that He cares about us, and that we can cry out to Him, and that when life seems to be so complicated, that the waves are so high and the storm is too big for us to handle, we can still jump into His arms because He will still catch us. That's a great God. That's a God that I want to cry out every now and then. Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, I don't know how to do this church thing. Would you help me? Daddy, I'm struggling raising my kids. Will you help me? Because I have confidence that He listens, He cares, He loves me, and He will run for me. Notice in verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. Can I just finish by saying this? Is that there are so many blessings and privileges when you are part of God's family. Do you understand that? I mean, the day that you are adopted is a great day, but that's not the finale. Let's think about this. A child that you adopt, let's say you want to adopt a particular child, and on that day you adopt that child, and that child realize now that child belongs to a new family. It's a great day for that kid. It's a great day, I must admit. But that's not the end of it. Because as soon as that kid comes to your family, there'll be all these privileges and blessings that comes with it. Are you with me? I mean, in my family, there are privileges to be part of the new ones. Not a lot, but there are privileges. You know, my kids will get some food, and they get a place to sleep. You know, and of course, on Christmas, they get some presents. Birthday, they might get some presents. Every now and then we will go on holidays. If they're good, they come along with us. You know, there are these privileges. Is that right? And I'm pretty sure for those who have families, there are certain privileges in your family. Now, if one day if Tran and I were to adopt a child and that child becomes our fourth child into our family, that child would also get all the privileges of being part of the new one. That child will get presents, birthday. That child will get three meals a day. That child will have a nice place to sleep. That child will go on holidays with us. The privileges that I have for my three biological children will be the same for that adopted child. That is the same in the Christian walk. If you are a believer, if you know that Christ has done everything to adopt you, and that's a great day, live in the fullness of all the privileges that comes with your adoption. Are you with me? Live every day saying, yes, I'm adopted. Yes, I have the privilege of having a father who loves me. Yes, I know that he's in control. Yes, I know that all things work good for those who love him. Yes, I know that if my life is taken away today, I will see him tomorrow. It is great. That's the Christian walk. Not, oh, if only I had that. If only I was blessed with that. And we strive, and we forget that there are privileges and blessings in God's family. So we live a life with no fear. We're not afraid of anyone. We're not afraid of any situation because we know there's a God who loves us and who walks with us. So we tackle every day with no fear. You know, a slave is always afraid. A son is not afraid. A slave is always trying to do things to hopefully please the master, that the master would, you know, be happy, not a son. A son knows that the parents are always pleased with the son, so the son would live every day in that joy. Maybe you're someone right now, you're looking for work, and you've applied, and you've been to interviews upon interviews, and it's been unsuccessful. Don't give up. Keep applying. Don't be afraid the next time you sit in that room with a potential employer. Don't be afraid. Know that there's a great God who loves you. In his right timing, there'll be the best job for you. So you keep pressing on. Maybe you're a business owner and things are not going too well. Never ever put your self-worth based on the success of your business. Oh, because my business is going bad, I'm pretty bad. No. Your self-worth is in the fact that you're part of his family. And whatever happens to your business, it doesn't matter. Keep pressing on. Keep living a life full of joy. There are wonderful blessings and privileges for those part of God's family. I pray that we would walk with a spring in our steps, that everyone would see something different about us. I pray that when you leave this building and how you live out your life from Monday to Friday, will be a witness of the privileges and blessings that you have as being part of God's family. God is not with us here and he leaves us alone Monday to Friday. God is with us here and always to the end of the age. So when you get out there, people, on Monday, and you are out there working, witnessing, or live with the privileges and the blessing being part of God's family, be afraid of no one, be afraid of no situation. God is in control. God loves you. And even if your life is cut short, don't be afraid of that. Because you will meet your wonderful Creator. Amen. Let me finish off with the words of Jesus and we'll pray. Luke 12. Consider the ravens. They do not sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Let me pray. God, thank you so much for reminding us that we are no longer slaves, but sons, daughters of the Most High. Thank you, God, that you did everything for our adoption. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to experience this in a wonderful, meaningful, tangible way. And I pray, God, that you would continue to do that work in all the lives of all the people in this church here. God, I pray, God, Lord, for anyone here this morning who is struggling, anyone this morning who are feeling that this is such a dry season for them, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would encounter them this morning, that they walk away this place knowing that they belong to you, knowing that you have done it all for them, that you have adopted them and they're part of your family, and they could walk in the hope, in the blessing, and the privileges of being part of your family. Holy Spirit, will you do that work right now? God, we want to experience you. We don't want just to know you in our heads. We want to experience you in our hearts. God, thank you so much that we belong to you. Thank you so much that we are loved by you. Thank you, Jesus, for doing all the work in our adoption. Thank you, Father, for accepting us into your family. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it a reality. So God, I pray, God, for this church here. Sun Life Church, I ask you with all eyes closed right now. Are you in a spiritual dryness period right now? Is things tough? When was the last time you cried out to God? Has it been a while? Have you ever cried out to him? Do you have this relationship where he is your papa, your daddy, Abba Father? So I give you an opportunity this morning to make things right. An opportunity to respond to God. If that is you this morning, that you're really struggling and life is quite hard and it's just like too difficult to take another step, can I encourage you now just to pray to God? Pray to him. Your prayer should be, God, may your spirit testify in my spirit that you are my Father. That I can cry out to you, Abba, Father. That I am adopted into your family. I am clothed with Christ. Can you pray those prayers? And I believe that God will do that work. And for those who are doing well, life is good. You're loving Jesus. You're loving God. Oh, keep praying that you continue to keep it up. He's a God who loves us dearly. He's a God who is concerned about us, who listens to us, who will run to our aid when we're in need. God, I thank you so much for your promises. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that you are our God, our Father. I thank you so much that you've clothed us with Christ. I thank you so much that we are one in Christ. I thank you so much that we have a chance, an opportunity to embrace each other, to show respect to one another, to love each other in this church. I pray, God, that this would not just stay in the tips of our head, but trickle down to the depths of our hearts. God, I pray, God, that you would transform us, Lord, so that every day we are conformed to the image of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again and again for your wonderful word. Thank you for the great things you've said to us this morning. And may we have the confidence and the boldness to take them on board. And may we leave this place challenged to be different. May Monday to Friday be a witness of your goodness to the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sun Life Church, will you stand with me? Will you respond to the word of God? Will you worship Jesus? He is here with us this morning. Worship as though he is on stage looking at you and I, because he is here this morning. Amen. Let's worship Jesus.